Okay. Right, so just last week we had two key ideas in Bone. We had the idea of the Maisa Bone, right? There's this very specific action which defines Bone, which was the Shita of Rashi. It's about softening the ground. As opposed to, let's say, the Rambam, Rabbi Yochanan, or the Yerushalmi, who definitely thought any Yipui Karka, right, any improvement of the ground, is going to be Bone. Choresh. What really sort of comes out of there is that, according to, let's say, the Rambam and the Rabbi Yochanan and the Yerushalmi, Choresh is really just is an engineering malacha. It's terraforming, and it's parallel to Bone, which is, right, architecture, building an actual man-made structure. And that's really just the two different forms of engineering. Building a house, terraforming. As opposed to Shitas Rashi, is that it's all about agriculture. It's about preparing the ground for planting. But Rashi sees it as a very specific maisa, right? There's a type of maisa which creates choresh, right? Softening the ground. The Or Zeruah had should really call it a middle shita, but he thought, like Rashi, it's an agricultural malacha. It's about preparing the ground for planting. However, what the Or Zeruah says is that any action which creates an improved circumstance for planting is going to be choresh, right? So the Or Zeruah, as opposed to Rashi, thinks that it's not a din in the maisa. There's no specific action which is required for bone, for charisha. Rather, it's in sort of totsa, anything that creates the result of preparing for planting. Okay, fine. That being said, we're just going to go into like a very specific case, which is fascinating in charisha, and I think that also connects back to that discussion. Okay, so the Rambam says that Asur lehotzi masa al behema, okay, the isra of Amer, right? L'man yinuach shorcha v'chamorcha, echad shor v'chamor v'echad kol behema chayv of, im hotzi al ha-behema, afo pishu hi mitzvah shi saso, eino lokev, you still don't get malchus, right? Normally, if you do malachus yourself, you're chayiv, chayiv skila. If you have your animals carry things, it's called mechamer. And that is a problem, but you're not going to get malchus for it, right? It's not one of the avos malach. It's not malacha. It's a separate iser. The fisha isuro ba mechlal asay, okay? Because the iser comes mechlal asay. The figach hamechamer acher behemta b'shabbes v'hayalav alav masui pater. Okay, so it's aser. You're over on a iser lav, but it's a lav ba mechlal asay, so you don't get malchus. Okay, that's more of a technical point. V'alo lav mefurish b'torahu, right? So the rabbi asks, wait a second. It's shouldn't be a lav ba mechlal asay. It's an explicit lav, because right the lav ba mechlal asay says you should have them rest, right? Mechlal that you should have them rest is that you shouldn't have them work, right? But there's a lav mefurash lo tasa kol melacha ata v'nchvitecha va'avdcha va'amatcha ubehemtcha shlo yachrosh bak v'kayotze b'charisha nimtza lav shaniten lazharas misas bezdin ve'in lokin alav. Just wait a second, I don't get it. You should be chayiv because it's a mafurash lav. Lo tasa kol melacha ata v'nchvitecha avdcha matcha behemtcha, right? Shelo yach rosh bas. You shouldn't do charisha with your animal. Or you can't have your cow pulling the plow, right? The kayotze becharisha. V'nimtza lav shenitan l'haris misas bezdin v'in lo k'nalav. Says yeah, but that is about plowing with your cow. And if you plow with your cow, you get skila because you just did charisha. You did it, not your cow, right? Now what's the chiddush here? The chiddush is, I would have thought, here's a cow. The cow's pulling the plow. And I'm sort of in the back, you know, I'm holding onto a piece of wood and I'm poking the cow in different directions. But at the end of the day, the cow is doing the malach, right? Says Rambam, right? The Torah tells us as a special pasuk, you know what? You're actually going to be chayiv on that. And that's considered charisha. Okay. The Ramban takes issue with this. And he says two things. One is on a technical point. The reason why you're putter is because it's a lav shein b'maisa. You don't have to do a maisa in order to have your cow do mechamer, side point. Okay, just for those who are interested, right? And then he says, I don't get it. If you have a cow pulling a plow and you are directing the plow, right? You're pulling it this way, you're pushing it that way. Now you can imagine the picture Mishnayos with like the guy, the cows and the guy, and he's like pulling, holding on to these two wooden, wooden poles that like direct the blade into the ground. So he's participating, right? The reason why you're patur by mechaner is because you didn't do a ma'isa, right? You don't need a pasuk to tell me that choresh with a cow is going to be chayiv. Why? Hamalacha nasus begufo shela adam shehu mischayiv behem misa. It's not a chiddush. Why is this a chiddush? The Torah doesn't need to give me a pasuk to tell me that plowing with a cow is chayiv, right? You're holding on to those things. You're plowing, right? Haray af leinian ha'onesh she'in kasav bo ela ha'osam malacha yumas mischayiv hu becharisha v'kayotzi bo she'ilu bechorish v'behemto malachas atzmohi u'behemto imo kekli biyad ha'uman. The animal is like, right? It's like malachas atzmo, right? And it's the animal is like a tool in his hands, right? If I were to use an electric saw to cut something, none of us would say, oh, you're potter, right? You're right, there's electricity which is providing most of the energy, but you're the one holding it, you're the one directing it, and you're chayiv, right? If you go on hagarzim biyad achutzev, right? If you take an axe and you cut a tree, that's obviously more extreme. He says, oh, if you use an axe to cut down a tree, then you're chayiv. If you use a chainsaw, why should that be any different? Right? So the Ramban is coming out, on the one hand, both the Ramban and the Ramban say you're chayiv if you use a cow, right? To pull your plow. But the Rambam says, that's a chiddush. The Torah needed to give me a pasuk to tell me that. While according to the Ramban, it's perfectly obvious, right? The Ramban says, of course, you took the cow, you attach it to the plow, and now you're direct and you're pushing the plow with it. Fantastic. You just did harisha. Okay? So the just how that comes out. Oh, 1 second, sorry. Hold on 1 second, just put up the chart. Okay, right? Oh, this is a little too close. Can I make it a little? Well, I have to readjust the pixels next time, right? But the for the Rambam says, you need a pasuk, right? Because otherwise, how could using the animal in tandem with your own actions count as harisha, right? It's only the shittuf of the behema as part of the maisa malacha. The Torah tells you, plowing with a cow is considered part of plowing. Right? The Torah needed to tell me that part of that harnessing an animal for this malacha is part of the malacha. Okay, so I think it's very similar to what we were trying to say by Zore. Throwing it into the air is considered, and you harnessing the wind for this purpose, the maisa is the act of throwing it into the air. That's the act of Zore, right? So you're doing Zore b'yadayim. So the chiddush is that using the animal to plow is going to be considered a maisa harisha, right? Even though physically the animal is the one who's doing all the work, right? Now, the Ramban says, hold on 1 second, sorry. Right, so the Ramban, on the other hand, oh, this way, so it's backwards. Right, the Ramban thinks it's pashut, because it's kocho, right? It's your maisa gamur, which I think in the, reminding us of what we said back in the Grama days, right? The Ramban's saying, wait a second, you're harnessing an external force, that's called, right? That's Geri Didei, right? That's considered your koach. Let's consider your Maisa, right? So for the Rambam, we have need a chiddush that says, oh, in this case, harnessing the animal is part of the malacha. It's a chiddush in harisha, right? That using an animal to do harisha is considered harisha. Part of the Rambam, it's obvious you're just using an external force, okay? So really, I think reminds us a lot of the Grama situation discussions. Where again, we said, oh, if you're harnessing an external force, right, is that considered your maisa? Or no, right? Really be karon. If there's an external force involved, it shouldn't be considered your maisa, right? And in specific circumstances, it would be chayiv. But right, we need, like by Zored, the Rush said, oh, that's Xeris HaKasov, that, special din, that Zored has done this way. right? As opposed to other sheets that said, oh, no, you're harnessing the wind. So once you harness that external force, it's koach acher mu'rav bo, and you're chayv. Okay, so this is very, I think, like some parallel to the question we've seen before of koach acher mu'rav. Now, a fascinating extension of this machlokes is a big machlokes between the sheet of Ritzvi Pesach Frank and the Chazon Ish. They're in large part dealing with the question of Shemitah. Can you plow using a tractor during Shemitah? Are you being over on the Isra Lav of plowing on Shemitah? Okay? But one of the big issues is, right, plowing with a device or with an external force, like plowing on Shabbos. So the Haritzvi quotes the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says, Nira d'chol acharisha v'azriya chashiva geri dilei u'ma'asav. Right? That the Chazon Ish says, oh, if you do plowing, no matter how you do it, that's considered your action, right? Why? Afagav the ikar hamalacha nasa bekoach shor hamoshech the kivan the darko bekach zeo ikar hamalacha, right? Specific malachos are done in a way, right, which you harness an external force, and those malachos are done that way. Mihu the malachos she ikaro bekocho ino chayev al ma'ase behemta, right? If a malacha is normally done directly and you use a behema, then you're going to be pater. Right, so the Chazon Ish says, okay, right, if you're doing Zorah, so the normal way to do it is using the wind. If you're doing Choresh, the normal way to do it is to also harness animals to do it for you, right? So that's all considered you doing the malacha. If we were dealing with something like, let's say, I think of it, Kosev, right? I don't know. Let's say you harness an external device to do Ksiva, you're an animal to do Ksiva for you, okay? I don't know, let's say you have a monkey-powered typewriter. So your monkey-powered typewriter, says the Chazon Ish, would actually be pater, because not normal, right? That's not the way to do ksiva, okay? Interesting question. What would he say about all the, I don't know, a printer. Is a printer considered, like, an external to you? Or you could say, no, dafka, it's totally in your koach, because an animal is more independent than a computer. Right? But he says basically, oh, when it comes to Harisha, we'll count everything as your responsibility because it's normal to harness that external power, as opposed to other malachos where we'll pater you. And here's like a key line. Dibim mazik, sanui lifnei amakom, right? God, basically, literally, God hates by damages, hanezek, the damage, right? God is mad that you are damaging. God says, don't damage, and you're damaging. The end result is what bothers us. What bothers us is your tircha, is what you're doing, right? The fact that you're doing the malachas chol. In which case, right? In a case where you're not doing the maisa, right? It's not about the totzah, it's about the maisa that you're doing. So if you're not doing the maisa malacha, even if the result is the same, that would be fine. Okay? The Haritzvi says, actually, that's totally wrong. Ipcha mistabra. It says for the following reason, because what do we care about? Masha omer, the Shabbos kapit rak al Torah ha'adam, ipcha matzini. He says the opposite, right? By Shabbos, it's not that we care about the Maisa, because by Zoreh, malachas machsheves asra Torah. By Nezek, we care, you're only chayv if you do the act of Nezek. If you physically did it. Right? By Shabbos, we're mechayiv you as long as you set up the system, as long as you did a ma'asem mimuchshav, right? You did a thought out process which created the malacha. We don't really care exactly how you did it, says the Haritzvi. Because we saw by Zoreh, where you're not actually doing the malacha, you're just doing something so that a malacha will happen. And we said, malachas machshavas asr Torah. Okay? So this is like a huge, very fundamental machlokas. That it's not about about whether or not what we really care about by Shabbos is that you're accomplishing the malacha, or do we really care about Shabbos that you're doing the maisa malacha? Okay, and this again builds up on this this idea that runs out through all of our discussions of malacha Shabbos. How much do we care about the maisa, exactly what you're doing physically, how you're doing it, or do we care about what you're accomplishing? Right. So the Haritzvi says, oh, we really care about what you accomplish. So if by Harisha, right? Hold on 1 second. By Harisha, what we care about is, you want to say hi again? You want to say goodbye? You want to say hi?
No, I don't want to say
hi. Hello, everybody. Do you want to say it's a Maisa versus Toitsa, Kakira? Say Maisa versus Toitsa. No? Okay, you don't have to yet. Don't worry, we'll work on the Maisa. We're teaching him all the Hakiros by numbers, like the classic Hakiros. Chavta Gavra, Maisa Totsa. We do it before bedtime. It's Gishman. Right, so we have here this a key machlokas. The Har Tzvi Pesach Frank is telling us, what would you care about by Malachas Machsheves is what you accomplish, right? By a Malacha, it's all about creating the finished product. You created something, you accomplished something, right? As opposed to Nezek, I care about the fact that you smash this guy's object, right? The Chazon Ish literally says the opposite. The Chazon Ish says, if you are smashing it, right? The physical action is what's asr on Shabbos. God said, don't do malachos, right? Asiya asr, grama mutter. On the other hand, right, when it comes to Nezek, you're chayiv because of the fact that you ended up causing damage. So this is a very, very fundamental machlokas. And we're going to put that on the chat. Where is... What happened to my chart? One second. I don't get it, please. Where's my chart? Why can't I share? Oh, it got closed. One second. Oh, okay. Yes. Amazing. Okay, hold on 1 second. Now we'll share. Okay. Right, so over here what we have is, on the one hand, right, the Ramban thought, oh, the mice of the behema is obviously chayiv, right? And the reason why is because it's kocho, right? It's your ma'asa gamur. So I think the Har Tzvi says the same thing, right? If you're plowing, you're chayiv because you're doing the ma'asa gamur, right? But by Shabbos, we care about what you accomplish. So of course, right, we would consider holding on to the plow to be a ma'asa me'mukhshav, right? It's a malachas machshaves. You're plowing. This is how you plow. Why would we think otherwise, right? And dafka by Shabbos, we care about accomplishing the malacha. The Chazon Ish says the opposite, right? I think similar to and the way he's tofes on Harisha is parallel to the Rambam. The Rambam says, really, Harisha, you're not doing the Maisa, right? But there's a special, right? So holding on to the plow isn't really going to be considered a Maisa by Shabbos. But you're chayiv only because there's a special din that by Harisha, harnessing the animals is part of the malacha, right? So in general, the Isser is in din in the doing the Maisa Biyadayim. Using animals, therefore, is not doing the Maisa Biyadayim, right? So you need a chiddush in order to tell me that Harisha is going to be chayiv, right? Is everyone clear on that? That makes sense to everyone? Yeah. Right. Meaning, according to the way the Rambam approached the animals, right? Why would you think that harnessing the animal is going to be a malacha, and why shouldn't it be a priori? I think, right? The more I require you to be physically involved to physically do the action, the more I'm going to say, oh, by Shabbos, right? We have a very high standard for malacha in terms of your physical intervention. You really need to be physically involved in order for it to be a malacha, right? Otherwise, it's not a ma'isa malacha, right? On the other hand, if I care more about accomplishing the totzah, right, that you're plowing is meaning that you, right, you processed the field, you softened the earth, you terraformed it, v'chule, then what I'm going to consider a ma'isa malacha is going to have a lower standard. The Ramban thinks it's obvious that harnessing animals is going to be a malacha, right? Even though most of the malacha is being done by the animal, but you harnessed it, right? If I care about the totzah, if I care about what you accomplish, then like the Har Tzvi who says, oh, it's really by Shabbos, it's about accomplishing the malacha. So then, of course, using an animal to do that should be considered a ma'isa malacha, right? It can't be grumma. But at the end of the day, it's not about the ma'isa, it's about the malacha that you accomplished. If it's about the ma'isa malacha, then I'll tell you that an animal doing it is an insufficient physical level of interaction between you and the malacha, right? You didn't do the ma'aseh malacha. You caused the malacha, you set up the malacha, you did the malacha on a certain level, but you didn't like do a ma'aseh malacha, right? Because the animal did most of the action. You might have did the malacha, but did you do the action of harisha, right? If the animal did most of the work? So the Rambam says, oh no, but the Torah says that the chiddush is that by harisha, right, the animal doing the work is part of it. Just like by Zoreh, throwing it into the air is actually the ma'aseh malacha, right? So the Har Tzvi works very nicely with the Ramban, and the Chazon Ish really seems to be taking the Rambam's approach. Okay, that's the first thing, and I think just like that works nicely with what the Rambam was saying by last year, right? With the terraforming, right? We speculated that the more you think it's a din in terraforming, the more you would argue that it's a din in. Actually, truth is no, I don't think it's necessarily connected to that. Never mind. Ignore that. Delete that in the last few seconds. It doesn't really help you one way or the other. Right. Okay, fine. So that's our first. That's our first point for today. The next thing we want to talk about was the question of Mekalkin, right? In the Gemara, sort of as an aside, the Gemara brings up what counts as Mekalkin, right? The famous Gemara, right? Chofer above Malach Shein Tzrich Lugufa, Chofer Guma. The Shabbos being sarach el lafar. You only need the dirt. So Rabbi Yehuda says, "Machashin tzrich legufa, you're chayiv, b'hani mili, by metaking." But if it's makalkel, you're pater, right? You're only considered chayiv on a malacha if you're doing something constructive. If it's destructive, you're pater. So the so Rashi has like a fun, interesting comment. He throws in a limitation, right? That doesn't really exist in the Gemara. The Gemara said, "Chofer guma b'Shabbos," right? The context we're talking about is. Is chofe ahaya lo guma v'tamina b'shabes chayv mishim bone b'bayis u'besadu mishim choresh. Rashi says, right, then it says, okay, hachofe guma b'shabes zayin v'tarach el lafara is pater. Right? Rashi says it's mekalkel. Mekalkel hu es beso. Right? A lot of shitos are medayik in the Rashi, that Rashi thinks it's only b'beso. If I were to dig a random hole in my field, even if it's, let's say I'm about to plant my field and now there's a giant hole in it, which is kilkel, Rashi would say that that's not mekalkel. It's only in your house where it's mekalkel, right? As opposed to, the question is, why is that? Like, why would that make sense? Why would I tell you that if you were to dig a hole and you only needed the dirt, in your field, you'd be pater. You'd be considered, you wouldn't be a pater because of mekalkel, but in your house, it would be considered mekalkel. Any ideas? Why would Rashi limit it to your house?
A hole in the house is much less useful. I mean, like, if it's a hole in the field, maybe one day I'll use it.
Okay. Okay, good, good. Like, you like add in like a little like sharpen them and just give it a more like more of a formalistic
yeah. Your house doesn't have a need for having large holes in it, but a field generally does.
Okay, good. All right, so I'm gonna just add and make it give it more technical formulation, but that was good sharpening. Right, objective and subjective, right? You might not want a hole in your field, right? But it makes sense to dig a hole in a field, right? As opposed to a house, it doesn't make sense to dig a hole in your house, right? Regardless of what you're planning, what you were planning on doing, right? Objectively, digging a hole in the middle of your living room is a kilkel. Digging a hole in the middle of your field might be a kilkel, it might not. It depends what you're planning on doing with the field, right? So this is, right, again, we're getting subjective-objective on Malacha Shabbos, not in terms of the definition of the Malacha, but in terms of the definition of Kilkel. What do I need from you? What do I want from you when I tell you you can or cannot do Kilkel, right? If I tell you it needs to be objective, right? So Rashi says, oh, it's only if it's in your house is it going to be considered an objective Kilkel, right? If it's not in your house, then maybe objectively that's not considered Mekalkel. You're right. Subjectively, it's subjectively mekalkel. It's going to is damaging to your house, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's mekalkel, right? Maybe mekalkel, in order to pater you from being chayiv on doing a malacha, needs to be something objective, okay? Something similar, but a little bit different, right? The other option, by the way, is, of course, right? No, it depends on what you're planning on doing, right? If you were planning on planting there, let's see if I brought the Pnei Yeshua here, right? Well, the Pnei Yeshua is interesting because he's like a little bit one step further, but not so many steps further. Pnei Yeshua said, "Davku bechufer guma mamish bekarka kasha shehu ra'oi lizria mishum hachiyavim bekalkel gamur." He says, "Ah, it needs to be objectively kilkel." He expands it from bias even to, let's say, if it's land that's meant for planting, and then you dig a random hole in it, so that's mekalkel also. Right? So his definition of mekalkel is a little bit less demanding in terms of how objective it needs to be, right? Linyan zriya. But let's say you were, it was sand. Let's say it was sandy. Or, right, bechol, levavak drachim, lo hevi guma gmura, le'inyan kilkel, kivan tibelav hachi, nidosh beragle adam beragle behima, velo chazinami lezriya. The Pnei Yeshua says, it's like very ironic, right? You would have said, oh, you have an area which, let's say you're in the middle of like the street, and you dig a hole, right? So the Pnei Yeshua says that dafka, that's not considered mekalkel. Why? Because you couldn't plant there anyway, right? It's sand. So you can't plant on sand. Sand is not good for planting. So the fact that you dug a giant hole here, right, isn't mekalkel, because it's, you're not stopping you from planting, right? So again, he's saying it has to be objectively either, so Rashi said it has to be in your house. Pnei Yeshua said, okay, it has to be either in your house or on agricultural ground that's meant to be planted. But if it's on a random place, even if it's mekalkel, right? Because the hole in Adraba, wouldn't you have thought that in sandy ground, what happens to a hole in sandy ground?
It doesn't stay a hole for very long.
Right. It's not going to stay a hole for very long, right? So, but the Pnei Yeshua says, ah, and therefore, right, it's not mekalkel, because when people walk around on sandy ground, anyways, it gets holes and unholes and, you know, just a balagan, right? You would have thought, and therefore it's more mekalkel, right? Because not only, because the hole's not even going to last, right? But he says, no, because objectively you would have planted there anyway, so you haven't lost anything, right? So in terms of what counts as kilkel, right? So Rashi says, it has to be in your house, it has to be in a place which is objectively mekalkel. Pnei Yeshua also says, if the place is already mekulkal, it's also not mekalkel, right? So meaning, which is not necessarily the same as Rashi, because Rashi's focusing on, right, the digging of the guma. The Pnei Yeshua is focusing on the idea of, is it mekulkal gamur, le'inyan zriya? Are you really messing yourself over for something else or not? Yeah, Gabriel.
So I don't remember which where the Pnei Yeshua exactly was last time, but I guess certain Rishonim can't claim what Rashi's claiming, because if you say it's about like the Binyan versus Harisha is about location, then you can't really say that, you know, otherwise you're saying that there's no such, if you're saying like Rashi, then
one more time, I missed
something. That makes sense. As in, because if you're on the side of the machloket last time, where you'd say that it's all about location, whether you're in the house or outside the house, for Karisha versus Bona, then right. I guess you couldn't really claim that. Otherwise, you're claiming that there's no such thing as kilkel for Karisha if you're claiming that this case of digging is only kilkel inside the house.
Oh, yes. Yafet. Very, very good. That's a very sharp point. Right, because the Pnei Yeshua wanted to argue that if it's in the sadeh, then it's going to be harisha. If it's plantable ground in the sadeh, then it's harisha. And if it's anywhere else, right, if it's in the house or if it's not plantable ground, then it's going to be boneh. So in order for him to say mekalkel by harisha, he has to be on makom zriya. Yafeh. It's a very good point. While Rashi, we said, that's actually a great proof that we were saying that Rashi thinks that you could, that there's this middle ground. Okay. Nice. That's a really good, that's a good point. Okay, fine. So let's just continue for a second. just like a side, just Tosvos, right, goes on the other side just to fill out the chart. Tila, I see you raising your hand. Just give me 1 second. I'm just gonna add Tosvos, and then we'll get to your question. Right. Tosvos says, you need, he says, oh, you know, you need some sort of sas tikkun for it to be considered metakein for you, right? And the question, and then his question, oh, is what's it considered a tikkun chashuv for you, right? So Tosfos just defines it as subjectively, right? What are you planning on doing with this? Or with this, you know, he's talking about like a involved question of by chavala, you might be chayiv on mekalkel also, because otherwise, like, how do you do it, right? Because if any time you beat someone up, let's say you cut someone, so that's a malacha, right? But it's also usually mekalkel. So you have to like figure out why is it considered, why are you chayiv? So basically Rabbi Shimon just says, you're chayiv on mekalkel by chavala because it's a malacha and it's always mekalkel. So it's just a malacha of mekalkel. But anyway, the point in that discussion, Tosfos says, oh, right, how do we define the tikkun or the kilkul? It's subjective, okay? So Rashi and the Pnei Yeshua are like, oh, obviously it's got to be objective. While Tosfos is saying, oh, of course it has to be, it's subjective based on the person. Right? And it just happens to work out nicely that Rashi was also on the side of saying, oh, you need an objective maisa of ripui karka by Harisha, right? So the kilkul by Harisha also has to be, you know, you have to objectively be doing something that's not doing that. Those two are not dependent on each other, but it works out nicely that Rashi is on the same side on both. Yeah, Tehila.
Okay, I think you just answered my question. I was just trying to figure out logistically how digging a hole in a plantable place is kilkul, because I just, maybe just like an agricultural question of how that fits into ripui karka or prep for zriya, because I do see that as being potentially a very constructive act.
Right, exactly, which I think why Rashi is saying, oh, if you do it in the sadeh, it could potentially be useful, and therefore it's only subjectively kilkul, it's not objectively kilkul. So it has to be in your living room in order for it to be real objectively kilkul. Yeah. A cool middle
shit. Right, I don't understand how the Pnei Yeshua would fit into either.
No, because it's at the end of the day, right? It's very easy. I think it's a very reasonable argument to say you have a field that you just plowed and you're about to plant, and then someone digs a big hole in the middle, right? A six feet deep hole. It's like, you know, I'm building my own grave in the middle of your lawn. Right. So even though it's the middle of a lawn, so it's technically in the field and you're digging, but if someone digs a giant hole in your lawn, you're going to be very upset. Right. That's objectively kilkul. That's such a long shot, I think. I think that's very, very reasonable. I think the bigger Chiddush Dafka is that Rashi is willing to limit it to the house. I think it's actually the bigger Chiddush is for Rashi to come and say, oh, you can only be Makalka if it's in your house, because any digging in the field is always going to be potentially attacking. You know, it's not objectively.
Well, I think, remind me from last time, did we see Rashi is more, I think he's more in the Maisa camp, right?
So yes, like, Rashi is very strong in the Maisa
camp. Doing something to the ground, moving around soil, yeah, it might create a massive hole. But you can see that as some sort of active briara in the Maisa, even though maybe, actually, I don't know. Does the Maisa digging a massive hole inherently have the massive hole in it?
Right. Meaning Rashi is very strongly on the Maisa side, and Rashi is willing to say, look, if there's any softening, if there's softening of the ground, the softening of the ground is in the Kalkel, right? So that Bonep, the actual Harisha is Gishmak, right? You're right that then you end up taking all the dirt out and making a hole. But that's sort of, maybe you could say for Rashi, like, oh, when you soften the ground, you stick the shovel in and you pull up the dirt, that's softening the ground. You're right that then you take away all the dirt and now there's a big hole. So at the end of the day, it's Mekalkel. But when you did the Harisha of softening the ground, that wasn't Mekalkel, right? Because that's always objectively Harisha. I think it definitely is probably the reason why Rashi's saying it. I think definitely. Okay. Just one cool between Shita is that of the Me'iri. The Me'iri gives us he sharpens it. And I think it's a little bit along the lines of what we were just discussing about Rashi in terms of like the internal mechanics. What does Mekalkel do, right? does Makalkal have to undermine the malacha that you're doing? Or does Makalkal simply have to be that there's Kilkal, right? Now, is that Kilkal objective or subjective? That's one question. The other question is, does the Kilkal need to be happening, or does the Kilkal have to be happening in the malacha that you're doing? Right? So the Meiri points out that if you dig a hole in your house, in kan charisha, shaharei notal ha'afar v'holechlo, v'in babayis in kan binyan el harisa. Right? He says, what is plowing? What is charisha? When you soften the earth, right? If you take the earth away, you didn't soften the earth. There's just no earth now, right? So it's not just that there's kilkul. It's that the kilkul undermines the malacha. If you dig a hole in a house, right? And now there's, and you take away the dirt, and now there's a giant hole in your house. That's not binyan of your house. That's harisa of your house. That's literally destroying your house. So the maisa malacha never happened. It's not just that there's a maisa malacha and that malacha is mekalkel, right? It's that internally to the malacha that you're doing, you haven't done it, right? You haven't built a house at all. It's not that you built a house in a destructive way. You didn't do binyan. You just destroyed it, right? So he's saying objectively, it needs to be something that internal to the malacha, right, undermines what your malacha is theoretically doing. Okay. So wait, we want to. Okay. Let's just share that. Right? So just in the Kalkel, we have right, the Shita of Rashi and the Pnei Yeshua, that Dafka needs to be objective. Shita of Tosos, that the Kilkel can be subjective. We care about the person, what the person is trying to accomplish, right? And then the Meiri says it's malacha dependent. It has to be something that works internally to the malacha that you're doing. So if it's bona and you're destroying your house, so then there is no bona happening, right? But it's not that you're doing bona and that bona is mekalkel. It's something you're not doing bona at all, right? Okay. Now, there's a fascinating shita of the Trumas Hadashin. The Trumas Hadashin says, if you were to dig a hole, okay, and in that hole, you were to dig the hole, not lafar, right? The Gemara's example is bonet for the afar, right? And you need the dirt, and then after you get the dirt, so then you, right, then you go and use the dirt for something else. Let's say you were to dig a hole for no reason, not for the dirt. You just decided to dig a hole, or you didn't decide to dig a hole. Okay, you're digging a hole, sort of like at, you know, I got something else, and there's no reason for it. It's not even a, so what's pashtus? You say if you dig a hole, let's say you dig a hole for the dirt. So there was a reason why you dug the hole, right? So if you didn't even need the dirt, I would say that's even worse, meaning it's even more potter, right? The Trumas Hadashin says that you're chayiv. Okay? Right? The Trumas Hadashin over here. It's mind-boggling. Heavy psik reisha laharchiv es aguma. You have a knife stuck in the wall. Okay? Apparently they used to do this. They used to use the crack in between the bricks as a place to store your knives, right? You have like a knife rack. You have a butcher's block, right? So they just used to use like in between the bricks. They used to slip a knife. So he says, if you have a knife in there, right? And it's like not a well-worn hole. So then, osegumos, ve'in tzarech la'afara, chayiv midaraisa mishem binyan. Says, you're chayiv midaraisa for bone if you take the knife out. Because it's going to expand the hole a little bit. And that's bone. But you don't need it, right? You're not taking the knife out to expand the hole. You don't need the hole to be expanded. It's perfect the way it is, right? You don't need the dirt. So it's literally for no reason whatsoever, right? So the Magen Avraham says, like, that makes no sense, right? Adraba, if you need it, if you need it for some reason, so at least it's a maleches machsheves, right? But here, it's for no tzorech, right? So I think what the argument here that the Trumas Hadashin is making, what do you guys think is the argument behind the Trumas Hadashin? block this out. Can't see it anymore because I'm blocking the, I put a spar already.
Well, what I was thinking is that he's using the hole to house his knife. So you're making a house for your knife.
Right, but it's already there. You already have it.
Oh, you're saying you already have it, so you're not like improving.
Right, it doesn't
improve. Oh, okay.
I think if it improved it, it would be easy, right? Because you said it's a psikresha that you're of bone. But here his argument is that you're digging a hole for zero purpose. It's in Kachim, you have a parallel idea. You have this idea of lishma, right? So by Kachim, if you do a carbon stam, it's fine. It's kosher, right? The Kohen gets the animal. He doesn't remember what the guy said. He just does it for whatever the guy told him to do it. Or he says like, he's like, you know, he's busy. He's not thinking about anything in particular, right? He's daydreaming at the moment. He's aware that he's shechting it, that it's Kachim, and like, you know, everything will be great. Right, as opposed to if the guy gets it wrong, then that's a big no-no. Right, if he gets it wrong, then if he does it shelo lishma, that passes the karban. So it's almost like the Shemitah Deshen is saying like this: if you do a malacha shelo lishma, if you do it for some other reason, malacha shein tzarach legufa, that is going to pater you. If you do it letzarach gufa, not letzarach gufa. And not letzorach anything. So if you did it for some other reason, that would like be pogea in the malacha. But if you do it stam, the malacha is fine. So I think that the only way to explain the Trumas Adashin, it's a pleiadic Trumas Adashin. It's very hard to truly understand. I think what he's arguing is that the way we view malachos is through this idea of like, oh, there's an objective maisa. Okay? The maisa malacha is what's aser, right? Very similar to what we're saying with Rashi by Mekalkel, right? Dafka babayis, says Rashi, you're going to be potter. Because even if subjectively to you, right, you're doing this malacha in a way which is Mekalkel for you, right? But nonetheless, you're doing the maisa malacha, right? It's only if it's objectively Mekalkel can I potter you, says Rashi, right? I think the Trumas Adashin is going in the same direction. Objectively, if you do the objective Maisa Malacha, let's say it's Ripui Karka, softening the ground. So you soften the ground. You're Chayiv on Shabbos because you soften the ground. You did a Malacha intentionally, be amazing. You did it for zero purpose whatsoever, right? The To'eles, right? The outcome, the Totsah of the Malacha isn't what's Machayiv. It's the Maisa Malacha which is Machayiv. So I think this crazy shita of the Trumas Adashin, everyone says like, what? Like, where's the Trumas Adashin coming from? It's crazy, right? But I think what he's saying is, if you think like Rashi, that Mekalkel is only when it's objectively Mekalkel, because right, that undermines the Maisa Malacha, right? If we think that Ripui Karka is about the Maisa of being Merapa the Karka, right? So again, says the Trumas Adashin, you are Merapa the Karka. Did you do that on purpose? Yes. Did you have any purpose? Did you do it for some sort of reason? Do you have any vested interest? No. Well, just because you have no vested interest is in pater you, that's already subjective, right? That's subjective, right? But if you hold subjective, so of course if you, says, right, of course if you do it for no reason, if you get no benefit out of, or if it's mekalkel for you, so of course you're pater. But if you go in the objective camp, there needs to be objective kilkel in order to pater you. So then also when we're saying, oh, you know, is it a malacha she'en tzricha legufa? Maybe we'll say, if it's a malacha she'en tzarach legufa, you're doing it for some other reason, in a chanami, you might be chayiv. You're going to be pata if it's she'en tzarach legufa. But if you're just doing it stam, so you're intentionally doing the maisa malacha. You're right that the totsa of the malacha you don't want or you don't care about, but you want it, you're doing the maisa. So maybe if the real chiyuv is in the maisa, not in the totsa, we can be mechayiv you even with zero kavana for anything, right? Even if it's chofer velo tzarech lachafira velo laafara, maybe that's worse than laafara. Because there, right, you can argue, if you're digging a hole for the dirt and not for the hole, so then you're not, right, and you're doing the maisa for, right, sheina tzarech legufa. But if you're just doing it stam and you don't need it at all, so you're intentionally doing the maisa malacha, and that's it, nikuda. Right, and if the maisa is the machayev, so then you might be chayev even just for that. I think Okay, just sort of the flip side of this, the opposite end of this argument is the shita of the Rivash in explaining the Rambam. Okay, there's a din that you're not in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to sweep your house on Shabbos because if you have dirt floors, because you have a dirt floor and you're going to sweep your house. Okay, as machlokas or belazer and the chachamim whether or not it's daraisa or derabanan. So there's a big question: what's that machlokas going around? Okay. So one option is that it's a question of is it a psik resha or is it not a psik resha? And they're arguing in the Mitzias. Tosos doesn't like that. Tosos says they're arguing about the guy who is mechaving hashvos gumos. He would like to do it, but that's not his main intent, right? He's doing it to sweep the floor because there's dirt, right? But if it also smooths out the lumps, matov, right? So then it gets into the machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Rishon is kavin is mutter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rishon is kavin is aser. But the Rambam says is a little bit vague. The Rambam says also the chabad esav karka shema yash vegumos elam kin hayaratzav bavanim. Okay, maybe you'll come to be mash for the gumos. What's the problem? The Rishon is kavin is mutter, right? So if it's just shema yash vegumos, that should be fine. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Rivash. The Rivash says like this: He chosh tahaisa kavanas a rav zalomar. The near shaisa kavanas a rav zalomar. Sham mechabid, meaning someone who sweeps the house. Mechabin liyafos karka habayis. What do you do when you sweep? Why you? What does it mean to remove the dirt? Why do you remove the dirt? Because you want to, right? Improve the floor, make the floor nice and clean, right? It's not because you objectively have something against the dirt. It's because you want the floor to be clean and nice, right? Ula tak no. Afal pisha hakibod lav psik reishahu, right? It's not objectively that you're going to also smooth the bumps. Nikomakom hakavana shiyishlo bekibod habayis liyafos ula tak no. The desire, the intent to clean the floor and improve the floor from dirt, chashiva kavana lenin hashvas gumos. It's as if you're machavin also to be mashed with the gumos. How does that make any sense? What's that even mean, right? You're mechaving to sweep the floor. The point of sweeping the floor is to improve the ground, right? Is to make the floor nice, right? Sweep it to make it nice. And therefore, it's as if you're also mechaving that kavana is tofes, is effective also for being mashve gumos and bone. Right? I think this is literally the opposite of the Trumas Adasha. According to the Trumas, yeah. Oh, no, Gabriel, you raising your hand or? No, trust me, guys. Okay? Why? The Trumas Adasha said that we're mechayiv based on the objective maisa. Right? If we're mechayiv based on the, you want to say hi? No. Right? We're mechayiv based on the objective maisa. According to the Rambam, right, I think we're, according to the Rivash at least, we're being mechayiv not based on the ma'isa, but based on the totzah. The mechayiv is the totzah. The mechayiv is that you're, what's the problem? The problem is that you're improving your house, right? You're physically, you're doing bona. What's bona? Right? You're doing shiputzim. You're doing renovations, right? Now, if you have kavana to improve your house, if you're in the act of home improvement, do I care whether you're mechayiv to do home improvement by smoothing the bumps, right? You're trying to do home improvement. You're right that your kavana was for this maisa of home improvement, which is mutter, right? But you're happy to also do other parts of the home improvement. Since you're mechaving for home improvement and you might also accomplish usher home improvement, it's all, right, kavana for home improvement. But I think what that means is that it's the exact opposite of the Trumas Hadashin. Trumas Hadashin says zero kavana is who cares because you're doing the ma'isa. But the Rambam's saying, you're not really even doing the ma'isa, but you have kavana for tikkun. And since you're going to accomplish tikkun of the house, right? And the whole malacha is the tikkun of the house, right? Bona is being metak in the house. So you're mechavi to be metak in the house, not by doing a malacha, just by sweeping. But the Rivash's chiddush is that could be count as bona also, right? That's kavana for bona. I bet there's no, you don't have kavana for the ma'isa bona. Yeah, you don't have kavana for the maisa boneh, But the Rambam says, okay, you don't have kavanah for the ma'isa boneh, but you still have kavanah for the toelas of boneh. Right? So according to the Torah Sedeshin, all goes after the ma'isa. Sorry, all goes after the ma'isa. According to the Rambam, it's all going after the toelas. Okay. And just one like final point is that for the Rambam, when it came to Harisha, though, was coming out on the ma'isa side of things, right? The Rambam was saying that you need a real ma'isa in order to be mechayiv, except that, at least the way the Rav Ash is understanding the Rambam here, we're also going and counting your kavana towards towards the totsah, even without kavana for the ma'isa, right? Which I think just shows that there's no, it's not a clear hakira across all the different aspects of the malacha, right? The Rambam could say, oh, in general, the ma'isa malachas are defined one way, right? But still say that in terms of your act of the malacha or your execution of the malacha, we're going to focus on the totsah. Or it could also be, it depends on which ma'isa, which malacha, right? Could be certain malachas are more ma'isa oriented, certain malachas are more totsah oriented. So it's just important to remember that it's hard to make a hard and fast hakira between different rishonim, because in the different areas and different cases, they're going to think that the ma'isa and totsah hakira applies differently to each case, each step of the malacha, v'chuleh.